G-81, ICA headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Don't call them and don't reply yet, Dan said to Tara. When we can be there in 2 minutes, stuff like this is better in person. I don't know what the hell is going on and how Piper could possibly know Leisha was here, but Leisha said I could call him anytime I wanted to talk. You heard him, didn't you?
Tara nodded, somewhat uneasily.
But he didn't say he could teleport us wherever we wanted to go. Didn't he say one time that it gets tiring and he can't do it over and over again?
He's done it way more than a few times in a single day before. And when it's this important, he's hardly going to say no. Not to us. Hoping Dan was right and willing to give him a few minutes to find out, Tara put her phone in her pocket. She could hardly imagine the distress Emma and Clark must have been feeling in Birchwood, waiting to hear whether or not Leisha was there. She ultimately acknowledged that a few more minutes of uncertainty for them was probably better than receiving confirmation via text that Leisha had been in Buenos Aires, and thus that Piper had somehow retained a degree of the inhuman power they all gleefully believed had been wholly removed. If Dan's confidence in Leisha's willingness to take them home to Birchwood in a literal flash proved misplaced, a phone call would be forthcoming. But that was a fallback Tara didn't want to need, and she watched Dan with desperate hope as he ensured his telepathy patch was firmly in place and proceeded to put his fingers and thumbs in the engagement position just in case that might help. I want to talk, he said, speaking as though Leisha was right in front of him rather than an unknowable distance away. In that moment, Dan wondered briefly whether Leisha had already gone the whole way home to New Kerguelen, a journey which required a spacecraft and a trip through the gate. More than a little remarkably, those steps never seemed to add any meaningful time, as Dan had seen on several occasions when the messengers had made the full trip and shown up in a matter of seconds, but he nevertheless found himself hoping that Leisha was already close by.
Say you want him to be here, Tara suggested.
She said this almost immediately, not after any real delay, but Dan quickly nodded and took it on board. Leisha, he said, endeavoring to retain a calm tone but speaking very firmly. We need to talk to you right now, and I need you to be here. Tara blew air from her lips.
He did say anytime you wanted to talk. I heard him. Maybe he's just...
Before she could finish, a flash that was as total as always and more welcome than ever before filled the office. It subsided as quickly as it had appeared, again, as always, and the return to normal light brought the sight of Leisha to Dan and Tara's eyes. Tara immediately reached into her pocket to grab her patch. Dan had said she wouldn't need it since he was just going to ask Leisha to take them home, but she didn't want to miss a single thing the alien said. Within seconds, and in time to hear everything, the patch was in place and both she and Dan were ready to telepathically converse with their closest and most trusted extraterrestrial friend. Can you take us home? Dan asked. The can really serving as will, as he made a request rather than inquiry.
Before the gala? Leisha replied.
As was occasionally the case, the alien's use of a certain word momentarily gave Dan pause. He didn't really know why, since the word gala shouldn't really have been any more surprising than countless others Leisha used regularly, but Dan considered that as a rarely used noun, it wasn't the kind of word he would expect himself to be able to translate for a long time, regardless of how fluent he felt himself to be in a foreign language. It didn't seem like a foreign word anyone would just know, was how he thought of it. In the coming days and weeks, after a few false starts thinking much the same thing, Dan hoped to finally hook himself and Leisha up to some equipment at Fiori Frontieri Building in Colorado Springs, to see what was really happening when they conversed. Clark and Timo had been experimenting on their own and had some workable data, he'd been told, but bringing Leisha into the fold could deliver some insight into whether he was communicating with unspoken words, as Dan broadly assumed, or if perhaps he was sending ideas that the patch and Dan's mind then did all the work of translating. That these abstract and, for now, fairly inconsequential thoughts were rattling through Dan's brain while the desperate desire to get home to his wife and daughter were sitting at its forefront was, however, a sign, if one was needed, of just how complex the business of mapping brainwaves really was. Humans were capable of processing all kinds of information at once and of thinking about much of it all simultaneously in very different ways and with very different levels of focus, and there was no reason to assume that an intelligent alien brain wouldn't operate in a similar or perhaps even more complex manner. "Right now," Dan said, "we really need to get home."
"Wait,"
Tara said, addressing the comment to Leisha before turning to Dan.
"A few minutes ago, I was thinking about how it made sense not to reply to Clark's text, because there was no sense in giving them bad news by text a few minutes before we could stand in front of them and talk it out."
"Okay," Dan said.
"That made sense, right?" she went on. "Like, that was a worthwhile thing to bear in mind?"
He half shrugged, half nodded. Tara shrugged along with him.
"Okay, well, don't you think it also makes sense to leave them hanging just a few minutes longer so we can talk this over with Leisha a little bit now, so we arrive home with some kind of clue about what's going on? Anything we can say is going to make it easier for them than if we get there without at least thinking about it first. Do you get what I mean? It's almost like that whole thing Emma always talks about. Sometimes it's really important how you break bad news, and the more you can soften it or at least lessen any feelings of hopelessness around it, the less bad it will be for the people hearing it."
"I hate all this," Dan very suddenly blurted out. "I thought we had done it. I thought she was safe and that our family life was going to be so much simpler now, even if all the architect stuff keeps us busy at the ICA. But all of this breaking bad news and message management stuff, I can't do it."
"Are you okay?"
Tara said, reacting more to the unexpected shift in Dan's physical stance rather than to his very understandable words.
"Oh, God. I actually feel like I'm going to be sick," he replied with an urgent unease.
His feet were already moving as he spoke, carrying him on the way to a waste paper basket in the corner of his office, but they weren't moving for long. Because at that moment, with a casualness bordering on the blasé, Leisha extended a hand and froze Dan on the spot. Tara glanced at Dan's trapped eyes and stood frozen herself, in a very different manner born of fear rather than externally imposed immobilization, while Leisha readied his formidable hands to engage upon Dan an invasive power of a kind the humans had never seen.